Hey guys, welcome back to the Crosswalk Podcast. We're super pumped about today's episode. I don't know that I've been as excited for an episode as I am for today.
I've not been as excited as what I am today.
And it only got better here a few minutes ago, listening to Robbie and Caleb talk. I was just like,
There was multiple times when we were like, stop. Pause it really quick. Save it for the podcast. When we're live, we'll say it.
Yes. Well, guys, this is our very special guest here, Robbie Massey. I'm super pumped. I can't remember how long ago it was. I was like, dude, we need to get Robbie on the show. And Caleb was like, who's Robbie? I was like, you know Robbie Massey. I think you guys met at the gym and everything. And
yeah, it took me a minute.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, he was like, yeah, I'm sure you guys have worked out at the gym. He was like, he's friends with Josh. I was like, Robbie, yeah.
Yeah. And so we were like, man, we need to get him on here. He's just got such a great testimony. And, man, I tell you, we work in the same building at school and everything. I'm challenged by Robbie all the time. Just, man, he keeps the best attitude. And so... we're going to let Rob, this is going to be part Robbie just kind of sharing his testimony, and we're going to share some scripture and kind of talk through things. But before we do, I'm actually, I don't know, have we ever prayed on the episode on camera?
Like,
I'm going to pray for us before, real fast because we didn't do it beforehand. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us while we're on camera here. God, I thank you so much for this time together. And Lord, I pray that Robbie's story and just our conversation here today would be a blessing to somebody, and that you would just use it and just help it just to extend out. Thank you so much for opportunities like YouTube and things like that to get your message out and your gospel out, God. And I pray that somebody would be touched by this, that they would be encouraged, and that you would use this, Holy Spirit, just to pull them back to you, pull them closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, I'm going to turn things over to Robbie and let him talk. We kind of have a few questions to somewhat keep us on track. We will not stay on track. We never do, but... I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let Robbie kind of tell us how you became a Christian, how you became a disciple of Jesus.
Right. Yeah, so like you said, my name's Robbie. I'm a special ed assistant at Scott County High School. I've just recently graduated my degree, but above all that, I am a disciple of Christ. You know, I'm saved, and my testimony is a lot similar to yours. You know, I listened to the podcast where Hoffman was on here. And it's really similar to you. Like, when I was 8, I started having questions and, you know, started having, you know, I was wondering about heaven and hell. You know, my mom started taking us to church at Trinity when I was 8. And I knew, like, you know, they were talking about heaven and hell. And I knew, obviously, I didn't want to go to hell.
Right.
And, like, you know, that was what everybody was telling me. You know, if you die lost, then you're going to go to hell. And I was like, I don't want to do that. But as far as like the knowledge of sin, it just wasn't really there yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I made what I call like an early profession, I guess you could say. Yeah. But like, you know, I thought I was saved, but from 8 until 23 years old, man, I just lived my life, you know, just how I wanted to, you know, got into things that I shouldn't have, you know, whether it was, you know, drinking, premarital sex, pornography, you know, anything you name, you know, I was into it, and I just tried to justify it, like, well, I'm just not at the level that I need to be, or, you know, I'm just not there yet. And in the back of my mind, it was like, no, you just don't have what, you know, other Christians have. But, you know, I tried to put that off as long as I could. I got into a church, Liberty Baptist. I started going there when I was right around, it was right around my early 20s. And I started, like, driving the church bus, and, you know, I even taught VBS and everything.
Yeah.
And even at the same time, I was doing things like I still wasn't supposed to. Like, you know, I was hanging out with people that I wasn't supposed to right around that time. And you know, me and Raven, we started dating not long after that, and I started going to Black Oak some, and I started hearing, you know, different styles of preaching, you know, different men, and really started getting convicted. I mean, at this point, I was like, I really don't have, you know, what, you know, what these Christians have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fought it so hard. And I can remember one morning at Liberty, it was a Sunday morning. There was a preacher that came in, and, he was giving his testimony. And I mean, right off the bat, it started sounding like me. And then he was talking about how, when he was in college, he was like, you know, helping out. And he's like, but he knew that he wasn't really saved. And, I was like, I was like, this is crazy. And it was like the Lord was right next to the pew with me, just nudging me like, hey, man, you need to
He's got sharp elbows, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he's like, you need to go up there. And I was like, oh, no, no, no. So I went up to the altar and I prayed. But honestly, I was so scared because I knew that I was lost and I knew that I had to get saved. But I didn't really want to do that because it was kind of like it was humiliating. Like I was like all these people, these kids that I've talked to, they're going to be like, you know, well, I've listened to him and he was lost the whole time, you know. Mm-hmm. So I fought that so hard. But then I ended up talking to Marvin, the guy who was he was like one of our pastors at the time at Liberty. And I talked to him and I was like, I swear I think I'm lost. And he said, brother, he said, I can't tell you whether you're saved or lost. He said, all I can see is your works. And I was like, you know, he's like, you drive a church bus, you do that. And I get that, you know, faith without works, you know, is dead. Right. But at the time I was doing that stuff to try to settle my conscience, you know, here on Sunday, check, you know, did this, check, taught a VBS lesson, check, you know, just trying to play the part. And it wasn't until after that he prayed with me. I still did not feel it. I was like, and I know it's not about feeling, but I was, there was something wrong. There was like a disconnect. So finally I just got in the car and I started driving home. And I ended up passing my road just because I didn't want to like go straight home. I just wanted to drive. And I got into the most deep conversation with the Lord that I think I ever had. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what it is, what's going on. I know what I need to do. I was like, you know, I'm sorry for everything that I'm feeling, all the conviction I'm feeling. I'm sorry for all that stuff that I did. I truly just want to be a child of God. Man, that moment, like the peace came over me. Like I can't even explain the peace that came over me at that time. And I was like, you know, it just dawned on me, you know, like he just saved me, you know, and that's all I had to do this whole time. And I made it so much more complicated than what it was. Then, you know, after that, he started convicting me of things. You know, I started really trying to live for him, you know, truly cutting things out of my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Raven and I, we kept dating. We got pretty serious, right around, 2015, you know, we got engaged and then, you know, like 3 or 4 months later we got married. So, I mean, it was like, you know, things are going great.
Right,
we lived at my mom and dad's house. They had like a apartment, like above the garage. Mm-hmm. So like we were, you know, pretty separated, but they still didn't charge us rent. So for the first year while we were both working on our degrees and stuff, we lived there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saved up and we bought our first house. You know, things were, you know, going great. And 2 months after we bought our house is when I had my accident. And, you know, like at this point, you know, I'm, you know, living it up thinking, you know, Christianity is awesome. It's going to make my life easy. Mm-hmm. But that day I found out that, you know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean, you know, bad things ain't going to happen to you. Whew. So, I can remember, that day, me and Josh were, and if I get off track, just let me know.
Dude, go off track.
Just stop
tell
me.
Your story.
You
know. We like rabbit holes, man.
But, Josh, I remember that day we were going hunting and, it was just like any other day. You know, like we went to work and, we left, we met up after work. We got something to eat. We were in a hurry, though, because, you know, as well as I do, you want to get out there before they start moving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get off work at, like, you know, 3-something. So, I mean, you don't have a lot of time. Right. There. So we grab something to eat. You know, we're in a rush. We're, you know, slinging tree stands and stuff in the back. And we're just taking off in his little blazer. And we had actually got up that morning at, like, 5 o'clock to work out before we went to work. Mm-hmm. So I'm exhausted, man. Like, but we're still going. And we get to where we're gonna hunt at, and I can remember pulling the tree stands out and we were walking to the tree that we were gonna put in, and we were gonna hunt the same field, so we was gonna be in eye distance of each other. We can see and, you know, hear each other. But midway through I looked down and I said, hey Josh, the top pin of this tree stand is missing, you know, the pin that sets the, you know, circumference of the tree, you know, at what angle and stuff,
right?
One of the pins were missing, and you know, you can't go up in a tree stand without that. So we were like, man, what are we going to do? And Josh, you know, we went back and forth about it. He's like, well, you take my pin. And I was like, no, you know, you need it. He's like, I'll just hunt off the ground maybe. And then finally, I had some paracord in my backpack, and I was like, you know, I'll just use this. So I ran that through, you know, a couple times, and I was like, man, that ain't going anywhere. So,
that's how it all started.
Yeah, that's how it all started, and I didn't even realize that until later, you know, like, but I didn't even think of it. After that, it was not even another thought. You know, we just started the climb. I got on the tree stand, went up, and I had my harness on. You know, I always used a harness, but I didn't use it the right way. You know, stay connected to the tree, which are off the ground, all the way up and all the way down. I was really bad to not connect until I got up there. Yeah, then I would connect.
That's me.
Gotcha. And then I would disconnect and then come down, which really is the dumbest thing that I could have done because, you know, the chances of you falling are much higher when you're moving.
Right.
So, you know, you live and you learn, I guess. But I got up there. I hunted the whole time. Me and Josh texted, you know, back and forth. It was getting kind of dusky dark. I was super thirsty because we had just slammed down some type of meal from Walmart, and it was so salty. And I was like, bro, I said, I'm really thirsty. I was like, throw me a water over here. And he's like, you know, like 70 yards away or so. Not even that. And he was joking. And then I can remember him. You ever heard of screech owl? Mm-hmm. How eerie sounding they are?
Yep.
I can remember a screech owl like right before we talked about coming down. He texted me. He said, bro, what is that? I was like, that's a screech owl. And man, I tell you, I can't even listen to a screech owl today without that eerie feeling. But I was like, yeah, man, we probably need to get down. It's getting pretty dark. And I can remember lowering my bow down. And I just got a new bow. It was a Hoyt. And, well, it was new to me. It was used, but it was still a really nice bow. And I lowered it down and started the descent. And I don't even remember what happened after that. I don't remember. Mm. I don't remember the break. I don't remember trying to catch myself. I don't remember anything. The next thing I remember is a sound of somebody yelling, and that sound ended up being me. And it was almost like I could kind of see what was going on, but at the same time, it was like I was looking at my, like, in, like, another perspective or something that. It was weird. I don't know how to explain it. All I know is I was confused. Things were like blurry. I was dizzy. I was in pain, and then I would go out, and then I'd come to. But next thing I remember is I hear Josh, his footsteps, just like boom, boom. And then he came up to me. He's like, Robbie. And then I started to come to a little bit more. And then my head really started hurting. I was like, what is going on? And I couldn't breathe very good. I had blood running down the back of my throat. And I was like, what is going on? And Josh was like, hey, you fell out of your tree stand. I was like, how? I had my harness on. You know, like, you know, I disconnected, but I was like, I had my harness on. And I don't know, man. I was so confused. I kept asking what happened. And I think what happened is, like, when the top part broke, I think I started to come down, and I must have hit my head on the bottom part where my feet were. And I think that probably knocked me out, and I had, like, just a little bit of amnesia or something like that. But I don't remember the fall or anything like that. I still don't. I've tried to, like, go back and, like, remember what was going on. But anyway, like, Josh was like, you know, you fell. And I was like, I was trying to get up, you know. Come on. And I couldn't figure out why it was so hard to get up. And I couldn't figure out, like, eventually I started noticing I couldn't feel my legs. I was like, it was, like, instantaneously. But, you know, I was so confused. And at this point, I couldn't breathe. I had blood running down the back of my throat, and I started assuming the worst. I was like, I've got internal bleeding. I'm about to die right now. And I really felt like I was going to die. And it was really scary. You know, I don't care if you're a Christian or not. Death is scary.
Yeah.
You know, I kept thinking, you know, I'm about to die. Mm. I was like, I've got a wife, you know, like, you know, I was more worried about her at that time. I was like, you know, who's going to take care of Raven, you know? I can just... I remember Josh, and later on he told me he thought I was dying too. You know, he said that I kept going in and out, like I kept you know, like doing that, and he had to wake me back up. And finally I was legit freaking out. I was like, Josh, I'm not gonna make it. I was like, I can't breathe. I got taste blood. I was like, I got internal bleeding, something's wrong. I said, I'm gonna die. And Josh grabbed my hand, man, and I remember him saying, "Brother, we just need to pray." And Josh prayed, man, and I'm telling you, after that prayer, the most peace. And the only way I can describe it is that peace when I got saved, that same peace came to me at that moment. Yeah. It was a peace that surpasses all understanding. I will never be able to explain to you that peace that I felt. Ooh. But in that moment, God told me, no matter what happens, no matter what's about to happen, I've got you. You're my child. Dang. And I was laying flat on my back. The only thing I could do, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't move, I couldn't stand, I couldn't do anything. The only thing I could do was look up in the sky and know that God was taking care of me. And I'd just like to stop right there and say, if you don't know him, if you truly don't know him, if you do go through something like that, I don't know how you can get through it without him.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, I was scared to death out of my mind. In that moment, the peace that came over me is probably the only thing that kept me sane in that moment. But I can just remember just the peace came over me. So I was like, I'm just going to lay here and relax. You know, I don't know what else to do. So I started like just kind of, I guess, going to sleep. It scared Josh to death.
Oh, I bet.
he kept shaking me. He's like, Robbie. Man. And I was like, what? And then he said that, and after he tells his side of it, he said when he looked down at me, it was almost like a peace was coming over me. But in that moment, he didn't think it was a peace.
Right, yeah.
He thought I was dying. He thought I was leaving. So he called, you know, Jamie Trammell, and they come down there, him and his wife come down there to sit with me so Josh can go out and meet the, you know, he'd called the ambulance and stuff. And where we were was really hard to get to. There wasn't really good access. So Josh had to go out there and meet them. And then the ambulance was like, well, I don't know if we can get it in there to him. So they had to call Rescue Squad, and they had a like a razor with a stretcher on it. Yeah. So, yeah, they had to use that to get in there. But before all this, Josh ended up having to go out and meet Raven at Helenwood Baptist Church. And he said that, you know, when they were, you know, he didn't know what to say. He was just like, hey, Robbie's fell, and, you know, she knows. So he met her there, and they were driving like 90 on Helenwood Loop trying to get over to me.
I'm sure.
And he said that he knew that when we got back that I would be dead. Like, he legit thought that I would be dead. He's like, I don't know what to do here. He's like, I'm just trying to get her there before he dies.
Right, wow.
And, man, I'm telling you, that was just – it was a scary moment. But I can remember, like – after that, like, it was in and out. After that, I can't tell you a whole lot of detail. Josh can probably tell you more detail than I can. But I was in and out, hearing the sounds of that razor and hearing people that I knew. I know Christian Phillips. He worked at the Rescue Squad at the time. I remember hearing his voice. And I was kind of crazy acting at that time, too. Like, you know, like, I like to laugh. That was coming out of me too. I heard Christian Phillips like when he was going up through there, and I whipped around, and I was like, and they didn't want me to move, but I'm over here like moving, whipping around, and I got this neck brace on. They're like, don't move. And I was like, is that Christian? He's like, yeah, buddy, it's me. And I was like, man, this ain't our funnest hunting trip, is it? He's like, no.
Golly.
And then I can remember, you know, at one point they got me up to the ambulance, and they said, we're going to have to fly him out. And, you know, thankfully, that Jamie Trammell's backyard was big enough for them to land right there. So they landed, like, right in his backyard. And I can remember before I'm getting in, Raven come over. Like, she finally got there. This is the first time I'd seen her. And like I said, I was acting loopy. I don't know if it was a head injury or what, but she come over there and you know, she was bawling her eyes out, and I was just like, "Hey, baby," and then I'm not gonna lie, it kind of hit me. I was like, "She's about to be mad at me because this is bad." So I was like, "I was wearing a harness. I don't know what happened. I was wearing a harness. I don't know." But then I can remember, them closing the door and then taking off, and I remember the sounds of the helicopter. I still can't hear a LifeStar helicopter without getting, you know, chills. Like, you know, it just brings it back.
Yeah.
And we get to UT. I remember coming to and waking up and then seeing Raven and talking to my family and talking to Brother Kyle, ended up coming over there, my pastor, and Brother Kristen, they come over there. And I can remember, you know, Kyle was like, what happened? And I was like, bro, it was so stupid. It was so stupid. And he's like, well, brother, God has grace for stupidity. And then I remember thinking that was like, that was awesome. That's how me and Kyle are, you know, yeah, we have a good relationship.
That's a Kyle
statement
right there.
Yeah, God has grace for you're stupid. So then I got Josh come back there, and I could just tell, man, I felt so bad. I think Josh was like 19 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Josh, I was like, what happened? And then as soon as I said, what happened, I said, it was the rope, wasn't it? And he just, I mean, you could tell, like, he was just sick.
Oh, man, I'm sure, yeah.
And what was crazy is we was, like, trying to figure out who was going to use the pin and who was going to use the rope. Yeah. According to Josh, like, I don't quite remember, but he was like, we were arguing a little bit back and forth. Do you not remember that? And I was like, no, not really. And he was like, I almost used the rope. You know, I almost told you to use my pin. I was like, well, I'm glad you know, it wasn't you. And so, you know, we talked through that, and I felt awful for Josh for having to go through that. I mean, 19 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I felt awful. And I kept saying that. And I was like, Josh, man, I feel so bad. And he goes, dude, shut up. You're in a wheelchair. later on, you know, after. Right, yeah. He's like, you're in a wheelchair. Quit feeling bad for me. But,
sounds like Josh.
Yeah. But, man, it was crazy. And I can remember after surgery and everything, which was, I was in so much pain when I got there. Ribs were broken. I think I had like, you know, 4 ribs on one side, 3 ribs on the other side broke. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just couldn't breathe. I was in so much pain. They were giving me morphine. Nothing was helping. And I was like, they've got to do something. I was like, I can't stand this pain. Yeah. So they brought out, I don't know if you heard of it, but Dilaudid. I think I'm saying that right.
Oh, I don't know.
They brought that out, man. Either. And they're like, it's supposed to be like really powerful. Like Raven can tell you the name of it. They hit that in me, and I felt it like wash over, and I was I was like, I don't even care about anything right now. It took away every bit of my pain, and I can still remember being afraid, but at that moment I was like, all right, I'm at some peace, and you know, still, you know, even as scary as the situation was, I didn't, you know, couldn't feel my legs. I still had this optimistic about me. You know, I was just like, you know, whatever's gonna happen, God's got this. You know, God's got this. And I kept leaning to that. And I can remember after, you know, they're like, we're going to have to do surgery. And something happened. They couldn't do the surgery right away. I don't know if the surgeon had been on call for so many hours or what. Okay, they couldn't do the surgery right away. So they had to wait like over 24 hours before I finally got. I actually think it was like the next day before they was able to get me into surgery. And I can remember my temperature was just crazy. If you have a spinal cord injury, your body doesn't regulate the temperature. So, right. I mean, I would be burning up 1 minute and then super cold the next. Ooh, wow. And it was just crazy. It was awful. Well, they finally got me into surgery. And they come out and they told Raven that, you know, surgery went well. And everything, spinal cord was not severed like they originally thought it was. They were just, you know, it was just really bruised. But he said still the chances of him having mobility is probably none. He'll probably never walk again. I remember Raven got kind of mad at him, and she's like, well, you don't know my husband. But I remember they told me that, and I was like, you know, it kind of, you know, set in, you know, I was like, wow. I was like, but I still was trying to be optimistic. I was like, no, you know, they say that all the time. You know, you hear them saying that all the time. I was like, I'll be fine. You know, in 2 weeks, I'll start getting stuff back, and, you know, I'll be good. So they got me in a room, and I stayed there at the ICU for a couple of days, and then they got me into a regular room, and I stayed there for about 10 days. And then they transferred me to a Patrician Hill, which was like a, you know, therapy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got in there, and I can remember they brought my first wheelchair in, and they were teaching me how to do transfers and stuff. And, you know, all at this time, you know, up until this point, I was doing pretty good, like as far as, like, you know, my mind and, you know, trying to be positive and stuff like that. You know, there was days where they were trying to teach me how to tie my shoes and put my shoes on and just stuff like that that I would get, like, a little frustrated. But, the overall picture – I was like, yeah, I feel pretty good about this. I still think that, you know, I'll start I'll start getting stuff back, I think. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, like, I don't know, I think I spent 2 weeks there. And then they said that they had an opening at Shepherd Center in Atlanta, Georgia, which was the goal. We wanted to get into Shepherd Center. We heard that was like, and at the time we wanted to get in there because they heard, you know, they get people, you know, walking. So that was the goal. We're like, we want to go there. I'm still kind of being naive at this moment. You know, I'm still trying to hang on to, you know, getting stuff back. But we get down there to Atlanta, Georgia, and they start running some tests. They do an Asia test, which is basically like testing to see where you can feel. Mm. And they ruled me as a complete, which is like 10% of spinal cord injuries, which means like most people with spinal cord injuries, they're considered incomplete. They have some movement or some type of feeling below their level of injury. They don't, me, nothing from here down. Man. And it was like, I think I'm a T6 on one side and T8 on the other, which is kind of runs like this, just to give you the little background there. But I remember them telling me that, and you know, everybody left, and Raven was like, "So, you know, I'm not gonna lie. What they just said is not good." She was like, "I know we've been, you know, optimistic, but they don't think you'll gain anything back." Mm. And at this moment, I was like, you know, I don't know, it really started hitting me kind of, but I was trying to be positive for Raven. Yeah. I was trying to be there for Raven. And I can remember, I could just see, you know, I could just see the disappointment in her face. I could feel it, you know. She was like, "We just need to go to sleep and, you know, we'll deal with it tomorrow." And I could just tell, you know, she was disappointed, you know, she was sad. Yeah. And that moment, man, I was really scared in that moment. And I can remember I started crying. And I was trying to not cry loud, but I couldn't help it. I just started crying louder, and she heard me crying. She was like, she got up and she come over there, and I was like, "What have I done?" I was like, "I've ruined my life," and I was like, "I don't know." Like, I can't even really remember the conversation. I just remember I was broken, and I felt really bad, mainly for her. I was like, you know, like, we just got married not long ago. We just bought a house. Like, it was just saying all these things. Mm. And it was tough. I remember it was tough. But, you know, she did great. You know, she comforted me. I comforted her. It was like, that was like a back and forth kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I would have my days where I was strong. And she had her days where she wasn't. And then vice versa, you know, I would have my days. And, you know, we just kind of, we hung in there. And, you know, we prayed, we kept in contact with, you know, the people of our churches, and I went to therapy, and there was times where she had to leave and go back home and work, you know, because she just had a new job, and we still had a house payment, so, I mean, it's not like she could stay there, and those days were really tough, like, you know, I had my mom and my sister there, and I'm really thankful for that, but, you know, you being newly married, mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. you, there's just a comfort there that, you know, I don't know if most people can explain, and I wanted Raven there so bad, and on days when she wasn't there, I was not good mentally. I was like, you know, just, I didn't want to even get out of bed and do therapy, and it was just, it was a really tough mind for one thing, but physically it was tough too. But, man, I'm thankful I got to go down to Shepherd Center because they taught me how to, I mean, they taught me everything. I had to relearn how to dress. I had to learn how to, eat differently, everything. Like, and they taught me all that. And I was so glad I got to go down there. And I think I got to come home, like, right around December. And when I got home, like, I actually got home in December, some things, like, some reality, you know, kind of started sitting in. Because when you're in a therapy hospital, you're kind of around this bubble, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everybody's kind of on the same level as you, you know. You're kind of protected in that environment.
Right, yeah.
And they kind of want you to be like that. But when you get home and you start trying to live your life, you realize that not everybody not everybody respects the handicap rules or laws like, you know, they did there. You know, you go to get a parking spot, and then someone will whip in there and, you know, obviously not need it like I did. And, you know, or they'll get out by the one next to the lines, like, you know, four wheelchairs.
Yes.
And, or they'll park in the lines. And I'm telling you, that was aggravating. Yeah. You know, especially, and Raven would get fire and mad, like, in the beginning. She still does to this day, but she'd get really mad. They don't even need it. I was like, calm down. And I can actually remember one time we were in Sevierville, and we was trying to find a parking spot, and every one of them was took. And this one vehicle was parked, like, here's a handicapped spot, here's a handicapped spot, and the lines were in the middle. And a vehicle was parked in the lines.
Oh, my God.
And Raven got so mad. Like, they were getting out and coming into their vehicle. Raven whipped up.
Oh, my God.
She whipped up, parked right behind them so they couldn't leave, and then got me out. Like, so here I am, like, wheeling behind the wheelchair. And you could tell every one of them were like, probably awesome. Shouldn't tell that one on her, but it was too funny not to. But, like, yeah,
we
man.
We can edit it out if we have to. Absolutely not.
But, yeah, just stuff like that, man. And, but yeah, like, I can just remember, like, you know, there was some good days, and there was things that I seen that may have, you know, been positive that come out of that. Some guys down at Shepherd Center that were kind of in the same boat as me. Like this one guy, I know his name's Greg Maddox, or no, Jeremy Maddox. He was about the same level of injury as me, actually a little higher.
Oh,
and
wow.
I can remember him coming in to talk to me, and man, he was like the coolest guy you've ever met. Like, just so cool, super confident. I mean, like, just like, I don't know. He had his pilot license. He ran his own company.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he did all this and from a wheelchair. And like, I was like just asking him questions and stuff. You know, he was a hunter and stuff like that. You know, he was telling me how he hunted and stuff. I can remember in that moment thinking, if I do have to stay in this wheelchair for the rest of my life, I was like, maybe I could be like that guy. Like, I could reach out to people and help them that, you know, in ways that other people can't. Because if you would have brought someone in there, an able-bodied person, telling me this stuff, I would have been like, whatever, you don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But the fact that he was in the same position as me, and I remember him looking at me, and he was like, I'm just going to shoot you straight, man. He's like, you're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. He's like, you're going to have days where you're just fine. You're going to have days where you're going to cry. He said, cry. He said, just cry. What's wrong with crying? He said, get it out. Mm-hmm. Cry. He said, but then get up and go live your life. He's like, because, you know, it could be bad. He's like.
Well, and, it, you know, you don't like to think about it when something happens. But, like, I've heard interviews of people, and you listen to like therapists and stuff, and like, no, it's actually kind of healthy to go down that road of it could have been worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you could have died.
Yeah, exactly. Could have a brain injury, you know, if you really get into it, it really could have been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so was that kind of a bit of a turning point meeting Jeremy
at that moment? I told Raven about it too later on. I was like, this guy was so cool. I was like, you know, he did all this stuff. He went and got his pilot license. I was like, he flies a plane. I was like, he's doing everything. And I was like, and he's doing it from a wheelchair, you know. So at this point, I'm kind of starting to see that, you know, there is a light maybe at the end of this tunnel, you know. But at the same time, I'm still, like, disappointed, you know.
Yeah,
and my pastor put it really well. He was like, he's like, I like how you've handled the situation. He said, you're disappointed, but you're not discouraged, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, of course you would not see your life this way. He said, but you've never charged God foolishly. And I can remember people asking me, like, if I ever got mad at God. And me personally, I don't actually ever remember getting, like, really mad or furious or anything at God. But I do remember, like, questioning, like, mm-hmm. why?
Yeah,
right. You know, why does this have to happen? I do remember praying every single night for, like, the longest time, like tear praying, like, you know, really hard. God, just let me wake up and everything be back. Mm. Let me walk again. And I don't know how deep you want to get into it, but I know
as deep as you want to go. Yeah,
but
you're comfortable with
everybody, like, when they see someone, like, in a wheelchair with a spinal cord injury, they just, you know, they just see the outside. They see the not walking and stuff like that. They don't see what goes behind closed doors.
Right.
And, you know, with a spinal cord injury, it affects your bowels, your bladder, your sexual function, you know, all that, you know. And people don't think about that. And I can remember, like, those things were probably the hardest in the beginning, you know, getting my bowel program figured out, getting my, you know, trying to figure out how to cath. And I can remember another pretty low point, and I'm building up to the good stuff, but there was a few low days that really just stuck out.
Take us on that journey.
But I can remember one time we were back. It was in January, so I'd been back for, you know, like maybe a month hardly. And Shepherd Center was doing a disabled hunt, and you know, we got to go down to Georgia, and they paid for everything. We just had to get down there. And I had the stomach virus, like, I don't know, like maybe a day or two before we were supposed to go down there. And I can remember wondering if I was even going to get to go. Well, I started feeling better, like, the day of. And I started feeling pretty good. And I was like, all right. I was like, we can try to go down there and see how this is going to go. And we got down there. They had a nice place, man. It was a lodge, you know, big fireplace. Super nice. I was pumped. I was feeling good, you know. Stomach, no issues. So, you know, we go to this dinner that they had there, and it was just me and my dad. And the next day, you know, we get back to the lodge. We kind of talk a little bit. We go to bed because we're going to be waking up at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right, yeah.
So we wake up, and, man, I start throwing my camo on. You know, I'm pumped. And we get out. They had this, like, lift, like this bus that with a lift on it that took us out to our tree stands. And we got out, and like, it was basically a big blind. It wasn't a tree stand. And they got us in there, and they were set. And 30 minutes into it, maybe a little longer, it started getting daylight, and the deer started moving. And I'm telling you, man, this place is awesome. There's fields everywhere. There's deer literally moving everywhere.
That's awesome.
So we started looking for bucks. And I was about 45 minutes into it, and I realized that I had a bowel accident. And I remember in that moment, I was like, Dad, I was like, we're going to have to call them to come get us. And in that moment, I was like, I can't even enjoy hunting anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even. And we got back to the lodge, and ironically enough, they didn't really have that accessible of a bathroom or a shower. Yeah, so, like, it made cleanup interesting, and my dad had to help, which was, you know, very humbling and awful at the same time. But I can just remember, like getting down on the floor, you know, him helping me with that, and I can remember just, you know, crying, my dad crying. It was just a low moment. And we didn't even stay. We ended up just leaving and going all the way back to Tennessee, you know, from Georgia.
Right.
Just because I was like, I can't do this. And so that was a low moment for me. But even at that moment, you know, on the way back, me and Dad was still able to, like, joke around. And so we ended up joking about it later, you know.
Right, yeah.
But we ended up joking about it. But that kind of taught me that I can lean on my family a little more. You know, I don't have to just do everything by myself.
Yeah.
It kind of taught me that, you know, to lean on them and, you know, let them maybe help me a little bit, because I'm still this way. I'm stubborn when it comes to people helping me.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah.
Like, I want to do things by myself. I want my independence, because I feel like it got taken away from me in one night. So, you know, I try to, but then at the same time, I realize there's things that obviously I need to have help with if I'm going to, you know, enjoy anything like what I do. So, like I said, there were some low moments, but, man, there's also, ironically, there was good things that came of it too. Like, I remember when we came back, we would hang out with, Rain and Kaylee and Josh. And, I can remember when we would hang out, cause, you know, we kind of started hanging out with them before the accident. So, like, our friendship kind of started getting started there. Actually, Raven and Kaylee have always been friends, but, like, we started hanging out as a couple, like, before the accident. Then after the accident, you know, they actually come over to Atlanta and visited with me. And I can remember just, like, some evenings just laughing with them, you know, until I cried. And actually, there was one day we were laughing. You ever seen that video, Backup Terry, or the guy in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Well, I remember Rain was over there, and he's like, have you seen this video? And I was like, no. So we're sitting here, and there's people in wheelchairs all around us, and we're watching this wheelchair video. And this video, this firework is blasting. And I start laughing so hard that, like, I wasn't even making any sounds. And my stomach started, I had a muscle spasm, you know, just where I can't control it. Right, yeah. It was hurting so bad, but I was laughing. So, I mean, that was like, we still laugh about that, you know. But I remember that, and I can remember there was times they'd been at the house and we'd just be like, you know, listening to Christian music and, you know, laughing and just hanging out. And I can remember thinking, you know, I didn't have this before my accident, you know, like, you know, we had friends and stuff, but I didn't have, you know, godly, you know, this godly right, yeah. friends, you know, like, you know, to actually make a connection. And it was just like, it wasn't fake either. Like, it was just yeah. like, you know, we are who we are. We're Christians. But we're here for each other too. Right. It was awesome, man. And I can remember us, like, you know, going through and wondering if we were ever going to have kids, because, like I said, the spinal cord injury, it messes with the sexual functions and reproductions, and there's a big science and behind all that. I won't get into all that, but we started going to, you know, fertility specialists, like, after a year of trying at home, and it just seemed like, you know, things weren't happening. Like, you know, we were praying, and we were spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month, and it just, you know, wasn't happening. And we were like, man, what's up with all this? You know, why are we not able to at least have this? And really, they didn't really know it either. Either they're like, you know, you're good, you know, she's good, you know, it's just maybe a timing issue. We don't know.
Wow. Yeah.
So we just started praying, you know, God, if you're going to give us a baby, you know, give, you know, whatever you want to do, you know, if you're wanting to give us a baby, we'll do, you know, however you want to do it, we'll do it. And Raven gets a call. I remember about this baby that's been born in the NICU, and he was born addicted to drugs. Mm. And, you know, she was like, you want to go meet him? I was like, what? I was scared to death at this moment. And I was like, you know, but I knew we had been praying for it. Mm. And I didn't want to be like, you know, no, I don't want to, because, you know, if this was God, then I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. So we go over there and we meet the little guy, and we meet the parents, and, you know, they've got problems, you know. And we pray for them too. But we seen the little guy. We immediately fell in love with him, and he was precious. He had a ton of hair. And his name was Brantley Hunter Canaan Asher. The dad gave him all. Wow. Yeah. So he's got wow. a lot of names, but we were like, okay. So we were leaving. We were talking about it, and she was like, do you want to? And I was like, yeah, you know, if this is something we can do, you know, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And, that gets into a long story, you know, with DCS and private petitions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We ended up getting him. You know, we got to the court, and, you know, the judge wow. gave us custody of him, and the parents were on board too. They wanted him to come to us because the only other option was foster care.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know,
that definitely helps.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I say all that to say this, like, in that moment, if I would have never had my accident, if I never would have, if we never would have went through those fertilities, like, if it would have, let's just say it would have took and we would have had a baby, there's no way, I don't think, that we would have even thought about taking Brantley.
Wow.
And if I didn't have my accident, you know, there's no way we probably would have even met Brantley or been in that position.
Hmm.
So, looking at Brantley, you know, every single day, man, he's awesome. Like, I love him. Like, I can't even explain how much I love him.
Yeah.
And just knowing.
Go get me, Robbie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
just knowing that, you know, that came from this, I wouldn't take it back.
Right.
You know, that was, you know, he is one blessing that came out of this that I wouldn't have it any other way, man. He's awesome.
Wow.
So out of all the low moments, out of all the questioning, you know, why, out of, you know, me wondering, out of Raven's disappointment, Raven's anger, you know, now talking to Raven, her perspective is a little different. Raven did go through anger, you know. But we've both talked about it. We've talked about it. Out of all that, Brantley was worth it. You know, you know, just being able to give someone who would not have had a good life, you know, like, it's untelling what his life would have been like, you know. You know, he was, if he would have went to foster care, he could have ended up in a good home. He could have not, you know. You know, we know that that's sad, but it's the truth, you know. Like, not all foster care homes were that good. So, you know. But that was something that good that came of it. And I'm really glad. Am I at peace with what happened? Maybe not.
Right.
Will I ever be? I don't know. You know, I don't wish that this would have happened, but at the same time, I'm getting better. You know, I'm getting to where I can, like I said, now I do everything by myself. You know, I get ready, you know, I go to work,
yeah.
You know, I drive, you know, I'm pretty much completely independent. And, you know, like, I do everything that I used to do before my accident. I just do it in a different way. You know, I hunt, I fish, I don't know. It's not like I don't want it to, you know, just like every day I'm like, oh man, this is awful. You know, it's not like that at all.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, you know, yeah, it's a little disappointing, but at least I still have life, you know, at least I still have, meaning, at least I still have, you know, Christ that, you know, helped me through it. Mm-hmm. And, I'm probably getting off track a little bit here.
No, you're good.
You're totally good. Man, I know that your story has impacted so many people in Scott County, and even, you know, even outside the reach of Scott County. Your story has spread very rapidly that it's happened. And, you know, I remember when I first heard about what had happened to you, you know, I mean, I know this, your story has probably saved, I would say many lives in Scott County, because, you know, before your story, I'd never wore a safety harness going up in tree stands. I mean, I'd wear them, but I definitely unhooked going up, definitely unhooked going down. I normally strapped it once I got up there, set in, I'd strap it up, tug in, but I always unhooked before I come down, and I always I'd never hooked it up before I went up. And after hearing about your story, man, I mean, it was just like, dude, like, I mean, now I don't, if I go, there's been times where I've literally drove out to my tree stand, realized I did not have my safety harness, was like, crap, and turned back and not gone hunting. Not gone hunting, because, and like, every single time that happens, like, I think of Robbie, you know, and like, I don't want that to be bad, you know, but like, in a good way, it's like, I feel like you have, especially being from a town where so many people are hunters. And do a lot of sport hunting. I feel like that has, I know that that's impacted me, and I feel like that's probably impacted a whole lot of people in Scott County, and it did a lot more good than what you know?
Yeah.
But I just think that's crazy, man. That's just, I know that your story has personally impacted the way that I do things, actually.
Well, so. I know, I told Josh, I said, if anything, if, you know, this helps people to not have the same thing happen to them, I was like, you know, I'm fine with it, you know, because, you know, it, like he said, I could have died, you know, and, you know, I would have been in heaven. For me, that would have been great, but, you know, could you imagine the damage that would have left behind, you know? Everybody would have known I was in heaven because of my, you know, my faith in Christ. But, and that's another thing, man, like, if I would have never truly made that commitment to Christ, could you imagine how hard that would have been? Like, I think about that all the time. Like, what if I would have kept going through the motions, you know? And what if I would have kept going through the motions, and then that happened and I died? Could have went to hell.
Well, and I think that's why a lot of people that would say they're Christians, or maybe even truly believe they're Christians, I think that's part of maybe the reason why a lot of them, we struggle to have a good category or a good place for the idea of suffering or trials or just difficult things in our understanding of Christianity. And I think sometimes it comes from we're going through the motions, and it may be on a scale of, I don't really have a relationship with Jesus at all, and I'm going through the motions. Like you said, you put it really well earlier of trying to settle your conscience. I think it's how you said it.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, just trying to, I'm doing this just so I can prove to myself that it's okay.
But right.
Instead of, you know, really settling it down and having that talk with God about it. Right. But even, I think, I mean, even people who I'm confident are Christians, I struggle to, little things happen. I'm like, oh man, this is terrible. Like, why am I going through this right now? You know, and it's like, I'm like, man, my attitude sucks sometimes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I still get that. I mean, yeah, we're not immune from that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
Think about, I mean, cause I hear, you know, you've said that, would you still consider yourself blessed if everything you had was taken away from you?
Yeah.
And I think that that's a question we should probably ask a whole lot more as Christians. And I know that I don't ask that question enough in my life because, I mean, like you'd said, so many things in our lives can get us so wrapped up in the moment that we forget who God is, that we forget, you know, how powerful and how almighty and how holy our God is.
Right.
We tend to put the things that we value in this world over God.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that they matter so much, but it's like, you know, what we consider ourselves, you know, not blessed if, you know, we get in a, you know, a minor fender bender or something, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, now I have to pay a $500 deductible.
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh my, I lost my job, or like I got, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, there's small things. I mean, you can weigh it from small to, you know, massive things.
Right.
But there's so many times that through each of our individual lives, we have so many small things on a daily basis that happen. Yeah. And we're just like, man, this week has been terrible. This month's been terrible. This year's been terrible. And it's just like, if the year's been terrible, the month's been terrible, and we consider ourselves, you know, like, oh man, it's we've not really been blessed this year, or whatever the case may be. We don't really consider ourselves blessed.
Well, doesn't that stem from like a misunderstanding of what like it means to be blessed?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean, you look at social media and somebody's like, oh, got a new car, hashtag blessed,
right,
or whatever. And it's like, well, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, there's blessing involved in that in the sense of, like, you were able to afford it or whatever, or hopefully you were able to afford it if you bought it, you know, things like that. But what about the people in the third world country that will never own anything like that? Are they not blessed?
Yeah, having to walk miles and miles for fresh water. We just go over to the tap and turn it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'd actually read a thing that, you know, that was saying that in America, compared to other third world countries and stuff, I don't even remember what it was, but, like, if you didn't own a car, if you didn't own a house, like, literally if you just had, like, a roof over your head and, like, something to eat once a day, or, like, it was, like, it may have even, like...
Oh, it's a massive percentage.
It was, like, something, like... If you had a roof over your head and something to eat once a day, or, like, maybe even, like, once every 2 days or something, it was something crazy, you would be considered rich to a third world country person.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my goodness. Like, if you, when you put it in perspective, it's just like, oh, wow. Like, we truly are rich in blessings. I mean, even, you know, what we would consider,
in
you know,
material blessings.
Materialistically, we were just, like, so blessed beyond belief, and we squander it so much times. But, you know, like you had specifically said that if God decided that he wanted to take it all away, if he decided, like, you know, if he wanted to take away your family and your house and your kids and everybody that you loved and everything that you'd known and all of your money, and you're just out on the street with nobody and you were homeless and you had no clothes on your back, like if you literally just had nothing at all, but you had Jesus, would you consider yourself blessed? Yeah. And like obviously as Christians, like we should.
Yeah,
for
sure.
we should consider ourselves just, I mean, riches could be. And
well, I mean, it goes back to the story of Job. I mean, he was a very rich man, and he had materially, you know, he was blessed if we looked at it that way.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But he, you know, he truly had his heart, you know, invested in God. He loved God, and you know, after him literally losing everything, I mean, he literally lost everything. He lost his house. He lost his family. He lost his wife. Everything you could think of, he literally lost, and he still worshiped the Lord.
And you know, and it's so crazy because I feel like in church, we hear that story so many times. Right. It's like we skim over it. Like we still, like even hearing it, we still downplay it because it's like we don't like value the fact that like literally all his sons and daughters were killed.
Right.
You know, and he, you know, his wife and his house, his every bit of his livestock,
right,
like literally everything that this man had, was gone and taken from him.
Make it personal, that's the one where like, God, I want to have that kind of faith, but let's not test it.
Exactly.
And that's the crazy part, is to think like, we hear that story and we're like, man, Job was a, you know, awesome guy, you know, glad he was able to have that faith. But it's like, bro, like, why do we not apply it to our lives? Like, why do we not apply that to our lives and be like, let me evaluate what I have and step back out of the picture for a moment and be like, you know, what exactly is it going to take for me to be considered blessed? Because as a Christian, not just as a, you know, as a mature Christian, or not just as, oh, well, you know, he's, you know, more advanced, I guess, of a Christian than I am.
Yeah.
Like, just as a, man, I am born again, you know, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he saved me.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Right.
But, like, we downplay that so much. Yeah. It's just crazy.
We do.
And even in my situation, I did not go through anything what Job went through. Like, if you go through that.
Right, yeah. I mean,
you know, and when I give my testimony at a lot of churches, I like to use, you know, Job. But I also like to just say, like, I didn't even go through near what he did. But I still realized in that moment when I was laying flat on my back, and when I thought I had lost it all, I still had God to look up to.
Yeah.
You know, I still had Christ to pray to. I still had that peace, that joy that most people will never feel that.
Yeah.
And in that alone, I was blessed. I'm still blessed. In that alone, I'm blessed.
And that's an eternal perspective.
Right. Right.
You know, I like what Paul said. This is what I was thinking of earlier, Paul in Romans 8. You know, and talking about suffering for the gospel and persecution, but even just any trials, you know, he says, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed to us.
Right.
And he talks about the creation. It's like it's like the creation's yearning. It's eager
for
everything to be made whole.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing about it right now is that, you know, I love talking to Rob. Robbie's such a fun guy, like, all the time. But Robbie, he doesn't, like, sugarcoat stuff either. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's like, I have my good days and I have my bad day. He doesn't make it sound like everything's, you know, just wonderful all the time. But, and that's the thing is that I think that authenticity is what makes it powerful to hear you say it. Like, you can truly say, because you have Jesus and you've seen the Brantley.
Right.
And these things come out of it and the people changing how they hunt and do those kind of things. You're able to see the blessings in those things because you're like, yeah, it still sucks. It's still a trial. It's still difficult. But you can choose to see the good in it because there may be eternal consequences to those things.
Right, for sure. Like, yeah, I mean, like, and it just goes back to, you know, everybody's not for everybody. Like, you know, you can go to one person and witness to him and maybe get somewhere. But then somebody else you could go to and not. You know, I could probably reach some people who are disabled, because I think society likes to pretend that everybody in a nursing home or everybody who's disabled, they're all going to be in heaven one day, and that's not reality.
Right, yeah.
Just because, you know, they're disabled or they've got it hard here doesn't mean that they're not going to suffer afterwards too. I mean, and you know, if me going through this, you know, save somebody from that, so they don't have to suffer here and even more in hell, then that's awesome.
Amen.
You know, I would definitely not take it back. And you know, like, I like Romans 8:37-39. And this is like my, you already know where I'm going.
I was just looking, I got pulled up right here. I'm looking right at it.
This is like my, and it's been mine since I've been saved, but like even more so now. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when I got saved, I like to, y'all know Derek Keaton, don't you? I think it was him. He gave his testimony, and he said that the day he transitioned from, you know, Christ being his Savior to his Lord. And I'm so glad that I realized, or that he let me realize, that I was not on the right path, you know, and that he became the Lord of my life. And does that mean that I never sin and that I try to, you know, live perfect? No, I mean, we still do. But he was there, like, he's there to convict me now. Like, you know, he's there to show me when I do mess up that I can, you know, ask him for forgiveness. But I should strive to be more Christ-like.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's my Lord now. But if we have Christ, none of this matters, man. I mean, really, when you get down to it, you are a blessed individual. So, like, if you take someone, like you said, like in a third world country, you know, if they have Christ, they're blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if, you know, we have Christ, we're blessed. And we shouldn't really look at anything else, honestly.
And we take so much of it for granted. Yeah. I mean, we really do. Not just as individuals, as churches. I mean, I think about, that's something I think about all the time, is just the fact that I have the freedom to go out and scream Jesus' name
right
in the middle of Walmart
right
every single day if I wanted to. But I don't do that.
Yeah.
But yet, there's people in third world countries that literally still to this day, and this is not just something that's in the past, still to this day have to sneak underground.
Yeah, and not even just like third world countries. I mean, it's
China.
It's developed. Yeah. Right. It's developed countries. Yes. A lot of them that are, and they're having to hide and run and for fear of death. And
but that's just that is a massive blessing in and of itself. Just the fact that we're able to praise God right here in America, and it's like how much we squander that.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think like Robbie was saying, just realizing that if you have Jesus, you're blessed. But I think like we fail to kind of realize it for the miracle it is.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? To realize that to me, that's the greatest miracle of all. Like, cool. Like, God created everything. So like, yeah, if he parts the waters or he does, you know, heals somebody, like that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are amazing, amazing things. But what's the greater thing? That, or that he can take somebody who's spiritually dead and by his own death, by his own sacrifice, bring them to life for an eternity.
That's good, man.
And like, and that's what, and that's, I say that, and I'm the most guilty one of taking that for granted. Of all the time of just being like, man, today was so hard, today was so bad. And like, again, at the end of the day, man, I've got Jesus, I'm blessed.
Amen, man. Amen.
You know, so, well, I don't want to keep talking and take away from everything you said. Because I'm like, man, I don't have anything to add to that. Robbie hit everything. It was so great.
It blows my mind, though, how people – I don't understand how people do life without God.
I mean, realistically,
I just really don't, because, I mean, I think about the little things that go on in my life when – I mean, it just be – I'm stressed. I'm just, you know, financially or just relationally or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I go through things in my life, and I'm not just talking about being saved versus unsaved. I'm talking about even Christians who are just far in their walk, who have, you know, strayed from God and have not, you know, mended that relationship with God, or just not walking close to Him. Like, I don't – like – I used to be there, you know, so I can understand in a sense. But, like, now that I'm on the other side of it, I'm just like, I don't understand how you do it, because, like, I could not do it without God. I mean, every single day is, like, getting out of bed, taking a breath. I mean, just going to work every single day. Like, every single thing that I do is just, like, I honestly do not know how I did this before.
Yeah.
I was just totally committed to God, because...
Well, man, like, man, I remember when 2020 first was happening, you know, I would... Raven had just... lost her job, so she had to go part-time. I was, you know, taking a leave of absence to do my student teaching.
Yeah.
You know, we were trying to have a baby. All this stuff was going on. Like, right at, we were trying to sell our house. That was taking, like, 4 months. There was all this stuff going on. And then, you know, we get Brantley, we get moved and everything, and then COVID happens. And I remember, like, just, you know, we weren't able to go to church physically. You know, we had to do it, you know, through. I remember, though, in that moment, in that few months or whatever, feeling so far away from God.
Yeah.
And I, even as a saved individual, even as, you know, someone having Christ, and I was like, I remember feeling depressed, and I remember, like, just, like, everything being, you know, like, you know, worrying again. And I was just like, man, I have Christ. Why do I feel this way? And it's like you said, man, you get a little bit away from Him. I don't know how people do it. I honestly don't. People who stay in that, you know, I'm glad I didn't stay in that.
Right, yeah, but, of course,
And I still go through times where I'm closer and when I'm farther away. Right, and that's just, you know, working through, you know.
Right, of course.
But, and, I mean, that was miserable in itself. Yeah. And
well, but consistently following Jesus.
Right.
It makes you better at life.
Yeah, for sure.
And I look at you as the proof of that. I mean, like, just even the difficult things. It gives you the perspective to keep going,
even
in the hard days.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't say no. I mean, it's like we were talking about earlier, like hunting and fishing. It's hard. I mean, waking up even earlier. I mean, you know me, I come into work late because, you know, I've got things that I got to take care of in the morning that I didn't have to used to take care of. And, you know, they could take an hour, they could take 3 hours.
Right.
And it's just so unpredictable. So, I mean,
I end up late with no excuses. So,
so getting out before sunrise is honestly a miracle sometimes. Right. If we get out there and we're like, hey, we're out here on time. This ain't happened in a while. But still in all that, to just sit at home and not even take a chance to enjoy it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would be much better for me to be late in the woods and not kill anything, not be successful versus not even trying to go.
Absolutely.
Right. You know?
And which I think is really cool because you were showing me all these videos before the podcast. Him, like, he's got this super cool wheelchair. It's like a tank,
explain
basically.
This thing.
So, like, I've been looking at this. It's called the Action Track Chair, and I've looked into it, like, since the beginning. But they're like $20,000. Like, they're super expensive. Yeah. And I'm like, that's like the price of like a small car or like, you know, like a Razor. I was like, I don't want to go in debt for this. Like, but like, I had talked to Kyle a little bit about it. And I was like, man, I'd love to have something like this. And he's like, if you ever feel, you know, serious about getting one of these, let me know. And I'm not the kind of person who likes to do stuff like that. I don't like to ask for stuff. Through the whole thing, people were like donating us money. And I just, I appreciated it, but I felt awful at the same time. I was like, I don't want to take from anybody. But started getting more serious about it, and I started talking to Kyle. I was like, man, I hate to even mention this. I was like, you said if I wanted to get serious about it. I was like, do you think that'd even be possible? Do you think we could get the money raised? And he was like, get me a price on it. So I got him a price, and he was like, okay, I'll get back with you. And, I mean, it wasn't even – a couple weeks they had the money raised. There was five guys and we had it raised, and Kyle put the order in, and then like I said, back in December it came, and it like comes in, it's got tracks, it has an option to like literally stand you up, it runs off battery so it's quiet, you don't have any smells. And it will literally go virtually anywhere.
That
like, it's awesome.
That
it's got its limitations.
You're saying you're like super excited for practice season.
Like I told you before the podcast, I was turkey hunting. I love deer hunting, but I love turkey hunting. Like I had a problem with it. I had to pray. I was like, Lord, I'm not putting this above you, but I'm trying not to put this on you, but I love turkey. I'd love everything about it. Getting up, hammering an owl call, hearing him gobble, not even 100 yards away, trying to figure out how you're going to get set up so he can't see you. I loved it. And
it's all Caleb's. That's all we've been talking about the last 2-3 weeks.
Just love that sound, man. But I was a running gun guy, and basically all that means is you wake up in the morning, you find out if he's gobbling back at you, you try to get as close as you physically can without him seeing you, you sit down, you call him in the rest of the way. You add a wheelchair to that, and it makes it very difficult. It's hard to move in general. So me and my dad, you know, for the past, you know, 3 years have been using a side-by-side. And I'm not going to lie, I almost called one in from a side-by-side. Me and my buddy was hunting. We got in 30 yards of it, and it gobbled. So we run up there and just shut it off. And I was like, he's not going to gobble. He gobbled. And he wasn't even like right down. Yeah. I was like, okay, this ain't going to be that bad. So I called, and he was gobbling hot. I could hear him spitting and drumming, man. Like, he was close. And next thing I know, I hear a hen over here.
Oh, no.
And it would have been one of those situations where, as before, he was right over the hill. I could have snuck up. Bam.
In that
situation, I couldn't have done that. So I'm like, it's been aggravating the past 3 years, but I got this now, and it's got more mobility. It's quiet. It's got the option to stand if, you know, just in case I have to have that little bit of elevation.
Yeah. But actually even allows you, you were showing me pictures of you or pulling back your bow in it.
So it actually has a bow. It came with like a bow rest and a gun rest right there on the side. It's got like a light, like a one of those little pod lights, super bright. It's got that. I mean, there's no excuse not to get out there with this
thing.
That's
awesome.
It's awesome. And I've got like a little utility trailer right now that I can load up and unload by myself. But Josh Butts is literally making like a carrier to go back in your Reese hitch with ramps that come down. So, I mean, I'll be able to. Raven hates the thought of this when I say it, but I'll literally be able to go hunting by myself if I wanted to and be independent.
That's
and
crazy,
doing,
dude. That is awesome.
I never thought I'd be here 3 years from now, but
that is awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you know, I think the Lord's blessed that. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
Like, and the means.
Well, that's what I love about it is you've in no part of it have you been selfish.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you've not been. No, from where I'm at, you've not been. You know what I mean? Because that's the whole thing is when you were telling us about trying to get a YouTube channel up and going and stuff, and we will promote that and work and collaborate with that and everything, running on ours and stuff.
Real Faith Outdoors. Real was two E's.
Two E's, right? Real Faith Outdoors. You know, and that's the thing I love about it.
We'll post a picture of his logo.
Yeah, we'll put the logo in there. Is that what you used to love to do it and everything that you've been able to get back to doing in new and different ways, like you said, with so much more effort. You're trying to use to reach other people for Jesus. And that's the part that I love the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, there's people. I mean, you can imagine there's guys out there who literally love hunting and fishing as much as we do, but they don't know Christ at all. Mm. Literally. They probably get up in the tree stand drunk, which is super dangerous. Yep. Could you imagine if in my situation, if I would have been like that, like drunk up there, and that would have happened to me?
Oh, my goodness.
And maybe if I would have died. I mean, that is a lot of hunters.
Yeah.
Most hunters have that mindset.
Yep.
And they could slip off into hell just one fall. Yep. They're 20 foot from hell and they don't even know it.
Dang, yeah.
Could you imagine that? Yeah. Just think that. Put that in perspective. Wow. I think of that all the time and I'm like, thank you for saving me.
Yeah.
Thank you for, you know, coming into my life and showing me that I truly didn't have you like I thought.
And that's your main motivating factor for wanting to do the YouTube channel.
Right.
That's what I was telling him earlier. I was like, that's awesome. I didn't know you were doing that stuff because I'd actually last year tried starting like a little outdoorsy, you know, just wanted to like share my faith in the outdoors and just like what I like to do.
Don't worry, we'll put your logo in there too.
That's okay. But, and I tried it. So that's what I was telling him. I was like, man, that's because he was showing me like all this footage that they had. And I was like, man, they have some really good footage. Like, that's awesome because like it's really hard to get YouTube videos start up like that. But I was telling him, I was like, yours could kick off. I mean, very, very easily. I mean, doing what you do, and that would be very entertaining to watch. I mean,
my dad, he's had a camera.
Maybe we can work and try to like get together with Duck Dynasty.
Oh yeah,
that'd be cool.
Grow a beard.
Yeah, see, I got connections. You know, I call them up.
Sorry, Raven, I'm gonna have to grow the beard out.
There you go.
Yes.
But my dad, he's had a camera in my face and outside since I was probably 8 years old. So I mean, we got footage that goes all the way
back.
That's
awesome. That's great.
But yeah, like the overall goal is show people, you know, that you don't have to stay inside just because you're in a wheelchair or you're disabled. And I know there's more severity of that, but don't use it as an excuse to stay in. Don't use it as, well, I can't do that. You can do it. It is harder, but you can do it. And to promote Christ, you know, in that too, you know, just, you know, is awesome. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's my overall goal with it. So
we love it.
We do.
Well, guys, I think we're going to wrap this one up. I have no idea how long we've gone.
It's been a while. Every second's been awesome.
It's been good.
I appreciate the opportunity, guys.
So, really, hey, we're going to have you back. I can tell you that right now. We'll have you back.
Robbie is literally, he's such a cool guy to talk to. I was telling him earlier, he was like, I recognize you somewhere. I was like, dude, we used to hang out at the gym, bro. And he was like, yeah, the gym. We used to be terrible memory.
We used to be little
gym rats, you know. But, no, he's a super cool guy, and we really enjoyed having him on the podcast. I really enjoyed his story. I know it's going to affect a lot of you guys, and you guys will be sure to get something out of it. So if you made it here to the end with us, then thank you guys for watching. Make sure to hit that like, subscribe button, maybe even that little bell so you know whenever we get future notifications on YouTube. We also are on Anchor, Spotify, all the other listening platforms, whatever you guys want to listen to. We're on there, so go check it out. Subscribe to it. If you guys are on iTunes, try to leave a rating, because if you leave the ratings, then it kind of gets us a little out there, a little farther, so we can help spread the word out to some other people. Tell your friends, everybody you know. We love you guys. Join us back on the next episode. Thank you.